This podcast is brought to you by Mezcala Nursery, located at 6901 Orange Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90805. Mezcala is family-owned, family-ran since 2007. This is the house of succulents growing grounds, you guys. I'm talking everything you can possibly imagine in the succulent realm, from your common everyday plants to more rare and obscure imports. They have all kinds of different cacti and euphorbias. They can service your landscaping needs, and they have a bunch of hoop houses dedicated to houseplants. And I go to Sergio anytime I have to do a pop-up, anytime I'm going to do a pop-up, I go to them, and I keep my shop stocked by supporting Mezcala. They have everything you need in one place. Mezcala is also on Instagram at Mezcala Nursery. They keep their stories updated daily of these plants that can come and go really quickly. You could miss it. Make sure to go show them some love. It's also very family friendly and the customer service is on point. I'm there all the time. I bring my kids with me. They always have a great time. 6901 Orange Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90805. Mezcala Nursery. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to If Plants Could Talk. This is Garrett. I'm your host. This conversation took place on August 22nd, 2021 with my guests, Pints with Pricks and A. Hubs. Scott and Austin joined me virtually today, all the way from San Antonio, Texas. It was truly an honor to have these dudes on. You guys, they have such big hearts and they're so real. I couldn't have found a better way to make a comeback than this episode. It's been 3 weeks since I put out an episode, and it felt like a lot longer than that for me. I really believe that these guys are going places, making their dreams come to fruition, and another excellent contribution to this project. Thank you so much, everybody, for the continued support. And make sure to go follow Scott and Austin. I will plug links to their socials in the description of this episode. Here is Scott and Austin. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start with some basics? We'll start with each of you. Where are you from? Who are you? Where are you from?
You want to do this?
Well, born and raised San Antonio, Texas.
I was born and raised in Houston. I moved to San Antonio in 2011, and I was here for about 5 years. Moved back to Houston. And then came back to San Antonio in 2018. I love San Antonio.
Yeah. How do you guys know each other?
Honestly, through the internet, really.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, there was a giveaway I think Automato was doing with like a plant and a pot, and I'd entered it. And when they did the announcement, I saw Market Zero TX. I was like, what the? I was like, that's Texas. So I clicked on it. It said San Antonio. So I was like, oh, what the hell? So I followed him, and then the rest is history.
Yeah.
When was that about?
I remember our buddy, Alex Cass. He's a tattooer here in San Antonio. Uh-huh. I had gone and like picked up some cuttings from him, and he'd asked me, he's like, hey, do you know about this A-Hubs guy? And I was like, I think he follows me. I'm not sure what's up, you know? And he's like, well, shit, man, if you're into cactus, like you need to hang out with him. Let's all get together. Mm-hmm. And Alex was the one that kind of like really made me feel like it's not just a dorky thing to be into plants for dudes like us. You know what I mean? And, came and hung out with Austin one night. I think it was in November or December. And I was just blown away. I was like, shit, man, this dude's like a young, motivated, rad dude. And if it weren't for Alex and Austin, I wouldn't be into this kind of shit like I am now, you know?
So were you just dabbling before and then it kind of like solidified it?
Yeah. I mean, like at the time I had just started dating somebody and the, like everything got shut down and, that there was really, there wasn't much to do. Nurseries, a few nurseries were still open, and I mean, you can only go to parks so much, you know, like in our area, mm-hmm. to where, you know, it's like, okay, we've been to this park five times and it's boring now. Let's go try to find something else to do. I went to a nursery and honestly, it was like kind of just wandering around and was like, saw a golden barrel. I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of like, that's a cool plant. Mm-hmm. And picked it up. Didn't really know anything at all about what I just bought. And kind of, because I'm like a collector of things, I started kind of just looking stuff up and got into it, you know, and it was like, okay, this is an easy thing to take care of, at least for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just kind of immediately snowball affected from there, you know.
Fuck yeah.
But if it weren't for the pandemic, I honestly would just be working and going straight back home to do absolutely nothing.
So did the plants help you get through that? Through that time?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what about you, brother? Where did the plants come into your story?
Oh, well, I grew up around plants with my grandparents, uh-huh. my mom's side. They're like low-key farmers, kind of, you know, backyard farmers. So they always grew vegetables, squash, green beans. They did fruit trees, figs were their big thing.
Cool.
And growing up, my mom always had houseplants and stuff. So when I got older, I moved out about 16, mm-hmm. and started getting houseplants, and they all died. I could never keep a houseplant alive. And that went on for, you know, a few years, try and get that going. And I was never really into cactus. One, I liked to see houseplants grow. They grow quick. I like to see the fast growth. In cactus, they go really slow.
Right.
And I think back in 2017, I was just looking around and I saw a Myrtillo cactus, the Geometrizomes, the blue one. And holy shit, I got that and then a small mammillaria and then just went from there.
Yeah, dude, that's dope. You know, a lot of people come on here and tell me that they got inspired by their grandparents. So I had a similar experience to tropical plants and stuff when I was young. That's cool, man. And how has that been evolving over time since you started? Did you guys think that it would end up where it is now? I mean, look at that fucking greenhouse.
Absolutely not. No way. Like, for me at least, like, if you were to go to Houston and ask any of my old buddies or even mention like, hey, like I know your friend Scott, mm-hmm. and he's into cactus. They think you're like trying to like straight up like make up lies about me. I guarantee because that's just never been my thing. Like I mean, honestly, for most of my life, it's been music or the tattoo culture or skateboarding, you know, things like that. Like even if I were to bump into myself, you know, like go into the past and bump into myself in the past, you'd be like, hey man, you're 2 years from now, you're going to be into plants.
Yeah.
And be like, whoa, this dude's on drugs. Like, what is this guy talking about right now? You know, I would never have ever thought that plants would like genuinely bring me like peace and happiness and, you know, shit like that. And because most of my life hasn't just like it, most of my life hasn't been peace and happiness, you know? And this is a very, like, I can come out here and my, also mind you, like this greenhouse is at Austin's house. This isn't at like on a piece of property or somewhere else. This is in Austin's backyard.
Dope.
And that was a whole nother thing that kind of like blew me away. When the first time I came over, I heard that Austin was into plants. And whenever I came back here, mind you, whenever I came back here, it was nothing but a shell. But I immediately knew, like, I can see the structure built. And I was like, whoa, this is not just a small time thing. Like this guy's serious.
Yeah.
And it was insanely motivating to me. Like, I mean, I already knew that I was into the plants. But then once I found a homeboy that was like really motivated. It just like, it sunk those hooks in, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I couldn't not just walk away from that being inspired.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I kind of feel like that's like ever since then, seriously, I've never told him this either, but like ever since then, man, like I kind of put this thing into myself. Like, I don't want to be around anybody that doesn't inspire me, or I don't want to do anything that doesn't inspire me or like bring peace to my life. If it's not bringing peace to my life, if I'm not being inspired by it, if it's not motivating me, I don't want it around me at all.
Yeah.
And this dude right here, like he's a pretty inspiring, rad, young, motivated dude.
Fuck yeah.
And I feel like that's what like Austin's not my friend. That's my brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
that's my brother, man. And I genuinely appreciate that. Or it just blows me away that plants push me to be such
a better version of yourself.
Person. Yeah, yeah, a better person for myself, and a better person. Like other people have told me, like, shit, man. Like since you got into this, you're so much happier.
That's
like,
rad.
God damn, Scott, like you're a happy dude now. I'm like, I don't know what it is. The only thing I can think of is like, I've changed my circle and my eyes are open to inspiration now.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty rad. It feels good.
It sounds like peace and calm and quiet was like kind of foreign to you prior to this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Totally.
That's a big deal, dude. That's a big deal that you found something that could be so life-changing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I recognize that now. And I appreciate it more than I can ever explain.
Austin, I got a follow-up question for you. What do you think it is? I know that this could come off as like kind of a weird question. But like, what do you think it is about you guys coming together that has motivated him so much to change?
Man, I couldn't even begin to answer that question, but it is a good question. I don't know. I mean, it's the fact that he's just started. When I met you, you weren't into it for that long.
No.
But when I met Scott, he already knew quite a bit more than I knew back in 2017,
mm-hmm.
that he was already wanting to collect the more rare or unusual plants, mm-hmm. and then just being able to invite him over and him seeing like, holy shit, okay, like this is the level I want to be at. And I just made a friend that's kind of up. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I know everything, because I don't, we're all learning,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like that we build off of each other's, you know, motivation and our just inspire. I mean, the cactus community, I always say, is super wholesome. You'll have a little bad apples here and there, but for the most part, it's a wholesome, motivating community. I mean, when I went out to California a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and met all the internet friends that I made, and seeing that community out there was just super inspiring, and everything about the community is very motivating. So I feel like just in and of itself, Scott coming over and us meeting is just build it bigger, you know?
Yeah.
What else can we do, basically?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you 100%. There's something different about this community. I've been in a handful of different kinds of communities and subcultures, and never have I felt so at home as I feel with cactus people, plant people, period.
True. I was in a houseplant group, mm-hmm. on Facebook a long time ago. And everyone on there was, you know, they were nice, but everyone just has like a different attitude.
A little bougie.
About them.
A little bougie.
Do what?
A little bougie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like just in the cactus community, everyone's giving.
Yeah.
You can ask a question. Someone's got advice for it. People are always down to swap or do a giveaway or do whatever. And I feel like just to inspire more people.
Yeah. part of me is thinking that the reason why that is because the type of plants that we tend to focus on with the cactus are, they're so resilient and they last forever. I mean, houseplants, you have to overnight them to ship them, mm-hmm. you know, and we can fucking throw that bitch in a first class. It could get there next month. It could get there next month and it's going to survive.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Right.
You could leave the plant out of a pot for. Yeah. Shit, I had a golden barrel. There was a nursery that has since closed down. They retired, and they had a big greenhouse where they had nothing but plants in the grounds. They had giant pachypodiums in there. You know, giant golden barrel clusters. And they said anything and everything $5. Come through. I'll give you a shovel. Just dig it out of the greenhouse. So. I got a few golden barrels, some root stock, stuff like that. Yeah. And I left that plant out of the pot for a whole year. Just in the kitchen, just left it on like a mat or something. Uh-huh. And I built a raised bed out front and I put it in the raised bed. It hasn't even been a year. It went from like this big. It already grew another in diameter, like another half a foot.
It's fucking rad.
They're resilient.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you can totally abandon them, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's crazy how you can just straight up not touch one of those things and they're fine.
You can go on vacation and you don't have to have anyone plant sit for you.
Yeah, I've told this story before in the earliest episodes of the podcast. The reason why I got back into plants this time, I was incarcerated for 6 months and I left this cactus in the backyard. And I came back, it was on its last leg, but it was fucking alive, bro. Just like decrepit and curling up and dried out and so sad and purple from sun stress. And I watered it. I watered that bitch like every few days. And within a couple weeks, man, it was all fruitful and beautiful and blooming. I was just blown away by how resilient it was. It really inspired me. So then I started collecting like a maniac again.
What plant?
It was in a Puntia. It was in a Puntia. It was in a Puntia monacantha, a variegated Joseph's coat cactus, the most random cactus in the whole entire world. But nonetheless, it didn't get touched, watered, or anything for the whole time I was gone for 6 months, and it almost didn't make it because it was already neglected prior to that because I wasn't doing good. But yeah, it inspired me, man. And I have it now. It's in the fucking ground and it's giant. It's like
fucking hell yeah.
It's
hell
huge. Yeah. It's a random ass plant. I would never go buy one, but that's where I found it.
Awesome.
An unexpected place, you know?
It's funny how that kind of shit happens, man. Like being, you know, like I'm sure you weren't exactly hyped to be, you know, incarcerated. So when you come back out, you know what I'm saying? Where you fucking come back out and you're like, how is this alive?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. This thing was fucking waiting for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to take care of it. And then when you take care of it, you get that, like, that gratification of being like, oh my God, it's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And then every week goes by after that shitty situation that you were in.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting that gratification to seeing it like, growing and coming back, and that's awesome.
It was exactly that, man. It gave me a purpose and it brought me some joy. And to be honest, it was the first plant I ever listed on Etsy. I took a cutting of it and I rooted it and listed it on Etsy, and that was my very first sale. And now here we are, it's like 600 and something sales, man. It's where
damn,
it all started.
Damn, good for you, dude. Like, I didn't know that, like, you were life. Popping off on Etsy like that.
Yeah, it totally changed my life, man. This one plant.
That's fucking awesome. Hell yeah.
Strange. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Could we try adjusting the camera real quick so I can have a little more? There we go. It's nice to be able to see you guys.
Sorry, man. Good, man. It's weird. I wonder what's going on.
It happens all the time, man. So do you guys want to get into some questions that I got submitted?
Yeah. Sure.
I got a gang of them.
All right.
Shit.
Great.
will you
bust me one up?
Yeah. What do you want,
McConnell
or
Love Street?
We're gonna start with Succulent Cacti Lady. May asked, I wanna know how/when/where did this bromance start? We kinda talked about it, but let's tell it.
So we definitely have the biggest self-proclaimed bromance in the cactus community. 100%. So, 100%.
So if anybody wants a challenge, good luck. But I don't think it's going to get topped.
Hey, Hunter and Troy don't got shit on us.
But we love those guys to death.
Yes, absolutely.
Heterosexual life mates?
Oh, yeah. Like, definitely. Definitely.
No, that's a quote from Jane and Silent Bob. They call each other. Yeah, Jane and Silent Bob call each other heterosexual life mates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right.
Yeah. Wasn't trying to clown.
I would say, and I'll take this. I'm definitely Jay.
Oh, yeah, Silent Bob
over here. Yes, all right. I will agree with that.
Are you the quiet
but
one?
But yeah, I mean, I'd say around November last year. Because the first time I came over, Austin's a fucking amazing photographer. And he's going to tell me to shut my mouth. I'm not going to do that. He's an amazing photographer.
Dope.
But the first time I came over, he wanted to take some photos of me and the person that I came with. And I was like, what the hell's going on? And he had like, and then I realized like, he had this huge camera collection. I was like, oh shit, this guy's taking this very serious. Well, my father is also a camera collecting nerd, just like this guy, so I immediately appreciated it. But yeah, I'd say November. Succulent Cacti Lady, she won the first giveaway that I did.
Oh, that's right.
And I remember being so hyped because at first I had no clue who she was. And but then I realized, I was like, oh shit, she's actually into this. Okay, yes, like someone that I know is gonna appreciate this stuff.
Yes.
Got that stuff. So I'm so glad she asked that question.
She's amazing. I'll message her pretty frequently, and I'm bummed I didn't get to meet up with her in Cali, but there's always next time. But no, yeah, bromance started and it's never gonna end. We start fire with our mustaches all the time. So
I don't have one today, but
May's one of the good ones for sure, you guys. Yeah. I love her. I had the pleasure of having her on the podcast, and she blew me away. It was the one episode that like brought me to tears when I listened to it afterwards.
Oh,
she's
really?
Got a powerful story, yeah.
She's super
sweetheart. She's an ultimate sweetheart for sure.
Yeah, dude. So I was asking you, are you the quiet one, Austin? Is that why he called you Silent Bob?
I can be. I'm definitely not as outgoing as Scotty here, but good choosing who you were and who I was.
Yeah.
For sure. If we're gonna go down that road.
That's dope.
If we're gonna go down that road. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, Scott's more outgoing. He'll go to, if he ain't got no one to go to a concert with, he'll go by himself. He'll go out to eat by himself. He's always down to go out and do shit.
That's
me,
dope.
I do like to go do stuff, but I also like having my alone time and just hanging out, being low key, stuff like that. So
more of a homebody.
Yeah, somewhat. But meeting Scott has definitely brought me out of that. So we're going to round back to how we're inspiring each other. I feel like, in other words than just plants, I feel like Scott helped me kind of like be a little bit more carefree and less worrisome about life and just going with the flow. He's a goofy motherfucker.
Like I'll be the first one. Yes, like I agree with that. I'm not afraid to be like, dog, like you're being fucking crazy right now. Like, get up, get out, let's do something today. Like, come on, let's go. You know, because the way I think about most boring, you know, not necessarily boring days, but I don't allow myself to have like an all day long bad day.
Yeah,
I can't do that to myself. Like, don't get me wrong. Everybody goes through those shitty days, those shitty weeks, those shitty months.
Mm-hmm.
But when you surround yourself with people that you know are going to pull you up off your ass,
mm-hmm,
by your ears,
Ouch.
Those are the kind of people that I want to be around. And yeah. I know that I've been a, you know, like a negative down and out guy in the past. And yeah. everybody has. Everybody's been through that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. But that goes back to, like, you know, only surrounding yourself with people that inspire you, and make sure that you're around people that are genuine. Like, if you're not bringing peace to my life, I don't want you around me.
Yeah.
If you're not inspiring me, I'm sorry, but I don't want you around me. And if you're not motivating me, get out of here. Like,
yeah, dude.
You have to surround yourself with people that you know for sure are going to push you to be the person that you know you should be. And other people do see it, whether you, and it's hard to see, like, it's hard to see that kind of shit whenever you're not feeling that great.
Yeah.
And it's very evident. Like, it's obvious. Like, the people that genuinely care will be the people that you're kind of pissed off at for a little bit.
Sure.
Because they're telling you, like, why are you being like that? What the, like, what's your fucking problem?
Yeah.
And, you know, initially hearing it, you're like, what's this person? Like, why are they talking to me like this? And it's not like a negative thing. It's because they care about you.
Yeah. Holding you accountable.
Yeah. And you gotta hold yourself accountable after that.
Right.
You know, after you hear that shit, like, you can't get pissed.
Right.
You gotta just be like, damn, this person's right.
Yeah. Every once in a while, someone needs a kick in the ass, you know, like,
oh, absolutely.
Metaphorically speaking, could we keep, like, just adjusting the camera every once in a while? Because you had it for a second, and there we go. Like, just every once in a while, do it, and we're good. I'm very interested to hear more about where that comes from, dude. Like, do you care? Do you mind, like, elaborating a little bit about, like, maybe the environment that you were in prior that made you?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean,
this kind of connection.
Not just me, but personally, like, for me, I had a wild ass childhood.
Mm-hmm.
My parents got divorced very young.
Mm-hmm.
I went through some other, like, mental and physical abuse as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And was kind of held down by someone that was supposed to protect, you know, my mother and myself.
Yeah.
But I was being held down by that person.
Yeah.
And I held that kind of negativity in my head, in my heart for years.
Yeah.
And there's a few things that, like, kind of pulled me out of that kind of shit. And there's huge gaps between the things that kind of pulled my head out of my ass. Like, sure. Sorry to say it like that, sure. But oh, yeah. That's how it was. I started getting into music whenever I was 13 years old, 13, 14. And I was just like, oh man, like, I remember being a bummed out little kid.
Yeah.
And hearing shit like Jimi Hendrix as a kid. I mean, like, oh my God, like, who is this guy? And my dad'd be like, check Jimi Hendrix out. This guy is the best, you know? And I'd, like, kind of heard Hendrix's story, and I was like, wow, that's epic shit.
Yeah.
You know, and then getting into again, this is years and years down the road, but I started blowing glass for a little while.
Hell yeah.
And having that creative outlet to just kind of not even think about my frustration, being pissed off about my job, you know, things like that. I can take all that out into that creative outlet. And that's how I took guitar playing as a kid too.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's weird. Sorry, I'm kind of like getting off track.
It's okay. And I'm sure it's a little triggering to talk about this, dude. That's incredibly inspiring to hear that you found those outlets on your own, because a lot of times, dude, people don't find those things and they get stuck in that environment forever.
Yeah.
And then the cycle continues.
I was definitely stuck for a long time there.
Sure.
but I, you know, like music kind of saved my ass, like getting into music saved my ass. Hearing songs that would like, I can easily relate to.
Yeah.
Or hearing even songs that like I couldn't relate to, but hearing the aggression and like I've listened to hardcore music since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an aggressive sound, but there was a positive message.
Sure.
I've never been a straight edge kid, but I grew up with some cousins that were into the straight edge hardcore scene. Mm-hmm. here in Texas. And my older cousins knew that I was going through some shit, and they were like, here, check out Strife, straight edge hardcore band from fucking California.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing band. Like, you don't even have to like that music. If you read the lyrics, inspiring shit.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what age you are or what you're doing. If you're, you know, if you're a fucking stoner, that straight edge shit is not like a tough guy straight edge thing. Like, it's just a positive message.
Yeah.
And I needed that kind of stuff in my life at the time.
Yeah.
So hearing again, like I've never been a straight edge kid, straight edge dude, but that proved to me like this aggressive music can send you to a positive place.
Yes.
Or even like just being able to be, I'm trying to think of what, like, it's hard to kind of like think about what I'm trying to say right now.
Thank you.
Off the top of my head. But there have been bands that like you, or just musicians in general,
mm-hmm.
that you can just be like, I don't know what the fuck that guy was going through, but that's going to take me to a great place.
Yeah.
That's fine. And it's okay to feel this way or that way. And man, like music really took me just to a completely different universe as a kid. And I've always been able to appreciate that. Like, shit, I mean, Austin and I, we've been really getting into the smaller, not as popular, I guess you can say, country scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've been listening to a lot of country music lately.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, come to find out there's guys that are our age that are writing some amazing songs.
Yeah.
About heartbreak or about being pissed off about working so it's like super hard,
mm-hmm.
and not really making as much money as you know you should make.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. And that's all stuff that you can relate to. And it just makes you feel like, okay, I'm not the only one.
Yeah. Sounds like you felt like you belong and it was an escape. You could relate. Everything that a kid actually needs.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you found it there. And
yeah.
I think that a lot more people would benefit from the type of thing that you're talking about, whether it's the cactus, whether it's music, the people that are feeling bummed, feeling depressed, because I've been there, bro. I mean, I've been suicidal. I've seen like very dark stages of life, and what pulled me out of it is connection with other people, you know?
Right.
Connection with music, connection with art, connection with the plants, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the opposite of that misery is truly connection, in my belief.
No, connections are genuinely the most important things in life.
Yes, we need.
Doesn't matter.
It's a human need.
Who or what you're connecting with,
mm-hmm.
you got to connect with something.
Yep. As long as it's positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a substance.
Right. Yeah.
Preferably not a substance.
Definitely not, man. Like, I've been there. I've fucking done that.
Yeah.
And I've found that the real connections in life are going to come from people like this guy.
Yeah.
You know, people like even your fucking neighbors. It doesn't matter. Like, just saying hi to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Like, if you wake up feeling like shit and your neighbor's outside, like, oh, hey, how's it going, Austin?
Yeah, just like, man. Someone just saying hello. How's your day going? Hey. That's what happens in the cactus community. Like, whenever I talk to cactus people, plant people, it's always really positive, uplifting. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, I remember you told me about this was going on. How's that? You know, like checking in. And that can totally make somebody's day. Just like you're saying, even walking out the front door and someone saying hello to you. And I think more people need that. And I hope that's one thing I would hope to be able to provide with this podcast is for someone to hear this and to relate to that. So thank you for being so fucking vulnerable and telling I mean, that's a gnarly story, man. And you overcame, and you know, look at you now, you know?
Exactly, man.
I hope someone hears this and relates and was like, you know what? I'm going to try to fucking plant something. Go plant a seed, something, you know?
Me too, man. Like, if anybody that's listening, whenever this, you know, comes out, if anybody that's listening, whenever this comes out, if you feel like you don't got shit, hit one of us up.
Yeah, man.
Because both Austin and I have straight up talked to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Austin talked to somebody. He was telling me the other day, somebody randomly hit him up and was like, hey, I'm bored. Someone wanted to shoot the shit. I can't remember who it was.
Snowbro Cactus.
Yeah. New member of the Instagram community.
Very new. He's
yeah, what's up, brother?
Cool dude.
If you're listening to this, what's up?
Yeah, he hit me up and was asking me a bunch of questions and I was mm-hmm. answering them. And he's like, hey, can I show you my plants? I was like, yeah, yeah. FaceTime me. We FaceTimed for a while. He showed me his stuff. And hopefully planning on him coming out to Texas and hanging out with us sometime. So,
dude, that's beautiful, man. I love that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. No, I've had some similar experiences where people just randomly hit you up. And then next thing you know, you've developed a relationship with them, you know, whether it's mm-hmm. questions or somebody relates to something that they heard. I love it, dude. That it gives me so much joy and helped me like continue doing this even at times when I didn't really want to. And this episode mm-hmm. feels good to me, dude. This is a great way to come back. Thank you, guys.
Good deal. Yeah. It's so funny, man. Like that to me, this is like the only thing that genuinely made me nervous is that like it's your first episode back.
Uh-huh.
You've had some fucking amazing people.
Thank you.
On here. And I don't know how Austin feels about this, but I'll say it. I've never been taken actually serious about hardly anything. Man, and I don't take life seriously. So whenever you were like, hey man, like I've been, you know, I wanted to have you on the podcast. I was like, holy shit. Like, are you kidding me right now? Of course I'm going to say yes, because I'm taking this plant, the cactus stuff serious.
Yeah, mm-hmm. man.
But to me, I was like, whoa, like people are paying attention. Like to me, I was like, hold up, this guy's paying attention. This is crazy.
That's fucking rad. And the amount of people is endless, dude. Like I couldn't get to everybody even if I wanted to, you know what I mean? Yeah. I
could There's no way.
Five episodes a week and I won't run out of badass people to interview, because there's so many cool people in the community that are just that'll take that FaceTime. So many of them, dude.
Yeah.
It's been my experience as well.
That's good, man. That makes me feel good. Like, because to me, like, or to anybody, like you only really live in your world.
Sure.
So to like, I'm sure whoever's going to be episode 2, season 2 is going to be just as blown away. Like what? Like this, you want me to do this?
It's unreal. It's awesome. To me,
it makes me feel more confident. Makes Austin feel more confident. Like, this is just building our confidence on what we're doing in little old San Antonio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the scene out in San Antonio ain't as big as, or in Texas, ain't as big as most people might think. We have 2 nurseries around us and that's it.
Huh.
2 nurseries. That's it. And, there are some rad people. Excelsior Cactus.
Shout out Hell to Excelsior yeah. Cactus.
Amazing guy. Amazing.
The grafting god of Texas, for sure.
Yeah.
He's a grafting
maniac.
Yeah. But
that's surprising to me, dude, because when I think Texas, I think desert for some reason. And
it's not. It's hill country with a lot of oak trees.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, what do I know?
Yeah.
See, and I'm like the area of Houston that I'm from, I'm pretty much from the fucking, like from the beaches. Mm. I'm where I grew up. I was 20 minutes away from the beach, but I was also 20 minutes away from downtown Houston. It's a small town called Pearland, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bitsy place. Like, so, I mean, it's funny. Texas is it's a massive state. We've got all kinds of shit going on.
Yeah.
You want to see the beach? We got it.
Yeah.
You want to go to the desert? We got it. You want to see some beautiful forests? We got it. You want to see mountains? cool.
Yeah.
But it really is very diverse.
Fuck yeah. It's like a country in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is, man. Like,
it takes you like 9 hours just to drive out of Texas from where we're at.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is how much of a bromance is going on. When the whole time that he was driving to California, every day, twice a day, I'm calling him, checking in on him. Where you at, brother? Where you at? You
know, this fool was the only person that would call me every day, see how my vacation was going, and that would check in on me. Only dude. And I appreciate that. And that's a good friend.
If it weren't for my work, I would have been out there.
Yeah.
Like, but work has been insane lately. And if work wasn't how it is right now, I would have been right there with him. We would have been flip flopping driver's seat, and I would have been out there too. But
yeah,
work is just insane.
Fuck, I got some more questions. Let's jump into them.
Let's do it.
Fleetwood Max said, "How has taking care of plants helped your overall satisfaction in life?" I like that question.
Oh man, Fleetwood Max. Max is a friend of mine from middle school.
Oh wow, oh, yeah.
That dude's a crackhead, but he's a man. I got stories of that kid, but but for real though, that's a good question. I don't know, man. It makes me. Being able to wake up every morning or go to work and come back from work and coming out here and seeing the growth of all these plants and these plants, we have plants from all over the world growing in one climate. And it's crazy to be able to see them grow at different rates and what they like and what they don't like. And there's something unexplainable about that satisfaction that you get when you see a new spine come out, poke out of the plant, or a flower bud starting to form. It's like hearing a song for the first time that you know you're going to listen to for the rest of your life, kind of thing. And I feel like the overall, it's hard to explain.
No, you did a great job explaining that. I agree with you 100%, dude. That dude asked a gang of questions.
I knew he was going to.
He said, what's more loyal, cacti or D's hoes?
All right.
Cacti.
For sure. Cacti is definitely more loyal than these hoes.
Hey, you can always count on Max to ask a serious question and then be a fucking goofball right afterwards.
I wish I knew Max. I want to meet Max.
That guy's a fool.
Have you ever tried a prickly hot dog? In quotations, putting a cactus between your cheeks.
Yes. Yes.
Wait.
Opuntia sylphuria.
You boofed an opuntia?
Hey, it's sylphuria, though.
What is that? Which one is that?
That's the super long spine. Super.
Oh, yeah.
A choya.
Dude, the spines are stupid long.
Damn it. It's
I got
on the
one
patio.
Right over there.
That's right. It's over there.
That's funny. So,
the spines are like, dude, like 4 or 5 inches long, but I straight up watched him go to grab another plant and accidentally like kneel, like, he squatted down and squatted into that exact fucking plant.
Fuck.
So technically,
I did. I did.
Took one.
I boofed the puntia, dude.
He took one, man. Damn, I'm looking at it right now on those spines. I'm not repotting that plant.
Dude,
I'm not repotting.
Puntias are too gnarly for me, man.
Oh yeah.
Stuck in your finger. Deep. Oh. But I have a bunch. What's the most difficult plant to take care of and why?
For me, I think Pacopodiums are the most difficult to take care of. I don't know what it is. I love Pacopodiums. They're my favorite caducifers, but I cannot take care of them for the life of me. They'll do good when I buy them, and I'll put them in the greenhouse and they'll do good until I repot them. And once I repot them, they turn to mush, or I have a few of them. They're on a, I call it the isolation table in the greenhouse. It's either the table with plants that have scale on them that I'm treating, or they have like a fungus, I don't know, or ants, mealybugs, whatever. They stay on that back table in the corner. And a majority of that table is pachypodiums that are not doing too well. So
what do you think it is about it that's like been a struggle?
I don't know, man. If I knew, I would try and correct it. So but I do want to give a shout out to CryptoCarp, Gavin. I got questions about pachypodiums. That guy messages me back immediately, lets me know what he thinks I should do. And I remember one time I was able to save one of my larger pachypodiums from some advice he gave me. But
sick.
That's definitely my favorite/least favorite to collect.
So is he a pretty knowledgeable guy?
Gavin? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gavin and his girlfriend Crystal are definitely paving the way for some crazy stuff. Gavin's into cordyceps, and Crystal's, you know, is just straight mellow cactus. So with their knowledge.
Oh, her man. Okay. Yeah, I know who that is now.
Yeah. So they're doing great things.
Yeah. I actually invited her to come on. We'll see. I'm trying to get her to come on. But it'd be dope to hear from him too. I want like more, and it's not to say that anybody else, any other guests haven't been, but like people that are like super knowledge and versed in fucking specific plant stuff, I want to hear about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If someone wanted to prepare a lesson and come on here, I'll shut up the whole fucking time and they can just, you know, teach us.
That'd be cool.
Teach us. You know, and that's, I'm calling out to you guys now. Whoever feels like they got something that needs to be heard, like, let me know, you know? And if you guys have recommendations, please.
Yeah.
I want to bring some heat.
You know who I personally think that we both know somebody that is insanely knowledgeable and is here in town.
Yeah, Lisa. That'd be cool.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And a female.
So great. We're going to kind of go off topic for a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a nursery here in San Antonio. Well, it's on the outskirts, but right there.
San Antonio enough.
Selma, Texas.
Okay.
Or shirts. I don't know. It's shirts. And Paul Kibler and Lisa Kibler, they own a nursery called Paul's Desert. And that was the first cactus nursery that really drew me in and really set the flame for this obsession, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Paul was the kind of guy that you could go there. There wouldn't be anyone else there. You could talk to him for hours. I remember going there, talking to him for 2-3 hours, and he'll answer every question you got. He'll show you his private collection. He'll show you the best plants that you would want to buy and collect and for very reasonable prices. And I feel like that really set it off. I would definitely consider him a mentor to me.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And he recently passed away.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I want to say March.
That. Yeah, it was March.
It was in March. He recently passed away. And now his wife, Lisa, has taken over, and she's doing an amazing job. Mm. Amazing job with the help of
Richard,
their friend. Yeah, Richard, who is a local cactus collector in the San Antonio Cactus and Succulent Society. I believe he's somewhere up in there. But they're doing great. That is definitely what I feel like pushed both of us. Mm-hmm. Is having Paul around and him really, I think he appreciated us young people coming by and appreciating the same thing he appreciated when he was our age.
Yeah.
Paul was like Austin said, like if you had a question, didn't matter how big or small it was, he was giving you an answer.
Yeah.
And a legit answer at that. Like, and I went there because of somebody else that told me, hey, go check out Paul's Desert. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I went by a couple of times and didn't know who Paul was. I didn't know if he was like just an employee there. But I knew, like, whoever this guy is that I'm talking to is wanting to tell me every fucking thing that he's got in his brain. And that made me feel good. Yeah. Like, especially being, you know, that I don't look like, or that we don't look like your typical cactus guy or plant person. He didn't care. You were there and you were there for a reason, and he was going to give you all the knowledge that he can give you. And that was one of the motivation that I was like, oh,
big turning point for sure.
This guy made me feel super comfortable. His wife made me feel fucking amazing for being there, you know? And I, even if I wasn't going to go buy anything, I'd go by Paul's just to go hang out.
Yeah.
It was like I was going to a brewery to go try the new beers that they put out, you know, and they make you want to come back. Lisa and Paul make you want to come back. And I was just like, oh my God, like these are, again, that goes back to people, like only keeping people that inspire you around you.
Yeah.
I could be a guy that was just like, whatever, like, I don't even know why I'm here, but these are great people.
Yeah.
You know, they're just great people, man.
No, I love people like that, that are willing to share their knowledge, you know?
Paul was the kind of guy that when I would go over there, he, he would, I would walk in and he goes, hey, the Ario fruits popped open. He goes, here's a baggie and some tweezers. Take as many Ario seeds and Astro seeds as you want.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, are you serious? He goes, yeah, I'm not going to do shit with them. So just take them home, grow them. Let me know how they go. So I have a bunch of Arios that are probably 7 months old that are just growing on the porch. We'll see how they do.
Rad. I hope that his wife gets the chance to listen to this, you guys, and that.
No, she's gonna listen to it. Like both of us. I know. Even if this was an episode of just me or just him, both of us would be like, Lisa, come here. You gotta listen to this shit. Because she's a sweetheart, like, and she's cool as shit. Like, it's not like it's gotten to the point where I've been there by myself. Mm-hmm. And she'll be like, she'll stop what she's doing and come and give you a fucking hug. You know, like, cause she knew that Paul was hyped to see guys like us there, or even like our buddy Alex. Like, Alex goes there a lot with his family and shit like that. And they know what's up. Like, they know that, like, I feel like Austin and I are kind of getting this ball slowly rolling to where there's more of a younger crowd in San Antonio that are genuinely given a shit about cactus. It's so random.
Well, no, you guys have an important role. All of us younger cats that are in this community, we are the next generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to set the standard and pass down the torch to whoever comes behind us. You know, like, what kind of legacy do we want to leave behind? It sounds like I want to have a legacy like that dude. And I'm sorry that you guys lost him, man. That's tragic.
But it was a pretty heavy one.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, like, in that whole, that goes with that whole thing. Like, you don't know what you got until you lose it.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's 100% true.
But how blessed are we to have something like this, you know, where we can come together and talk about this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, shit, man. If it wasn't for dudes like you doing, like, putting it on a platform like this, because the way you do this is amazing.
Thank you, man.
I mean that. Like, whenever I, like, realized, like, okay, like, this is going to happen here soon, let me genuinely check it out. And I started checking out all the other episodes. I was like, oh shit. Like, this is really good stuff.
Oh, another shout out to Psychedelic Ninja.
Man, Marco.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the guy.
He is a big part of the scene here in San Antonio.
Hell yeah.
And super kind dude. I've yet to go to his place. He's come here once and he came with gifts, gave us some plants. And that's definitely a dude that I'm glad to say he's in San Antonio and definitely want to build with him for sure.
I found out about him. You guys, he's hungry. I talked to him for like an hour the other night. He's like very hungry right now to get something going, just full of drive, you know?
Oh, yeah. Scott and I.
Yeah, it seems like you guys would all be a great little team.
Yeah, we're working on a location, but we're trying to get like a monthly thing going on here in San Antonio. We're hoping by the end of this month that we'll have an actual location, but we're going to try to start doing a monthly meetup, because Austin and I like to have a good time. Like, we're trying to find little breweries that would be down for it, that have food too, just in case people aren't like 110% like, oh, well, shit, I'm not going to go there because they only have beer. Like, no, like we want people to come through, have a good time, have some good food, and do a plant swap.
Fuck yeah.
Do a seminar. Like, we want to bring people like Excelsior to this monthly thing. Do a grafting class. Next month, I've been kind of like inspired by Troy and Edgar Automata to start doing pottery.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, whenever I was a glass artist, that was my like zone out creative outlet. And seeing dudes like Troy and Edgar, man, like those guys are fucking killing it.
Hell yeah.
They're having a fucking great time and they're doing it. And I especially like with Troy, I can see that he's like putting some of his life out there into his ceramics.
Yes.
Well, that's what I want to, I need that. I need that shit again.
Yeah, dude.
And, but so like we're trying to genuinely get it to the point to where we want the community to get just a little bit spicier.
Yeah.
Like, because I hate to say it, man, but I really do hate to say this.
It's a little dull.
It's so bland sometimes.
It is. And it really is. I went to it is, but I want to say I visited Green Touch Nursery when I was out in Cali.
Yeah.
And that dude is super positive. Mm-hmm. I was telling him about the scene out here. And he goes, oh yeah, I see what y'all are doing. He goes, hey, don't take any offense by this, but he says, look, it's all fun, y'all drinking in the greenhouse and nerding out over your plants, but you're by yourself and you're not building anything. And I said, man, yeah, I mean, you're right. And he goes, you need to do something, man. You can't say that the scene is bland if you're not doing anything about it.
Mm.
And he goes, like I said, I don't mean any disrespect, but drinking beers in the greenhouse is fun. But at the end of the day, don't say that if you're not doing anything about it. And I said, damn, you're right, man. It's the truth. And immediately, right, I didn't even get back yet. I called Scott and I go, Scott, I talked to the guy at Green Touch and he said this. I was like, let's do something. I got back. We immediately started planning something and hopefully it builds from there. Because like I said, seeing everything in California is such a different scene.
Yeah.
Super different.
It's still a little bland too.
You think so?
Just a little bit.
I don't know. I don't know.
Y'all are pretty spicy compared to San Antonio.
Sure.
And I hate to admit that. I hate to admit it. But
because everything's bigger in Texas, man. but not the cactus community.
No, the cactus community in California, and honestly, shit, most other places, I don't hear anything about Texas.
Yeah,
I don't hear anything.
We can
about
take it up a notch, though. I do think so, and I think that's what's happening right now. Is
yeah,
everybody is taking it up a notch because of people like Oscar, because of people like you guys, because of these outliers, these people that are really driven and different. You know what I mean? And Oscar's really good at pointing out shit that you don't. like necessarily want to hear, but you need to hear.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Yeah.
No, he's done it to me too. Yeah.
It takes a real fucking dude to point out to another real fucking dude to be like, dude, you're fucking up right now. Like, you don't like it? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And I don't take that as a negative thing at all. Like when Austin told me that, for a split second, I was like, damn. But then I was like, no.
Yeah.
This is going to start going somewhere else.
He called it positive guerrilla warfare.
I like that shit. I didn't know he said that.
I'll never forget that. That's what he called it. He goes, hey man, I'm just being positive. No offense. It's positive guerrilla warfare. All right. He's like, all right.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it, man.
No, I feel you. Like, man.
So from after what, whenever he told me that, I didn't take it as a negative thing. I took it as a, like, you guys are killing it. Now take it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Take it to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that goes back to only keeping people that inspire you around you.
Yeah. Well, you guys caught my eye. There's something unique about you guys for sure. And I love the combination with the pints and the pricks. Dude, that's dope. It's clever and it's different. And, you know, look, you guys, now you're drinking beers on a podcast that has listeners all around the world. All around the fucking world. Literally.
It's funny how the pints with pricks thing kind of came up. Because so my older cousin, my cousin Eric, I grew up idolizing this guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's 11 years older than me, 12 years older than me. Anyways, I grew up idolizing my two older cousins.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric was like, and like, you're into this craft beer shit and you're into this cactus shit. You need to just do something with both. Like, do something with both of them.
Yeah, they go together.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, he told me this on I think it was a Thanksgiving or something like that. And I was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, man. Like, I just like decent beer. I work too hard to drink shitty beer on the weekends. And cool, I got into plants. And he's like, no, seriously, like, do something with it. That's the shit right now.
Yeah.
Like, plants are the shit right now. Craft brewery, like, craft anything is the shit. Try something out. So I did Pints of Pricks. And it got a pretty decent response. And I was like, holy shit. Like, for instance, like a brewery in Illinois had done a beer for the singer from Power Trip, Riley Gale, that passed away.
Okay.
And they did like a benefit beer for them and all that stuff. So I tried to get a hold of that beer like crazy. It's like trying to get a hold of a fucking, like, an epic comic book. Like, it was almost impossible.
Mm.
And finally, one day, somebody messaged me, and come to find out, it was one of the owners of Wake, and he sent me a bunch of beer. And we were working, like, we're doing a little trade. I'm sending him a bunch of stuff from here in San Antonio. And I was just like, wait, how did you find out about my page? And he's like, oh, well, I heard that, like, there was some guys in Texas that like hardcore music, and it just so happened to actually be you.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, what? It just, again, it blew me away. Like, it's like whenever you had approached me, I was like, wait, somebody's gonna take me serious? I'm not doing nothing but hanging out with my fucking homies.
Dude, they go together. I say it all the time. Plants can go with fucking anything.
Absolutely. They really can.
Beer and plants go well together. Like, you put them on a I'm thinking like a shop. You have the beer next to the plant. It's all good. You know, there's gonna be someone that wants the beer, someone that wants the plant. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think plants can be collaborated with a number of things. You know?
Oh, so many things, man. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah, that's fucking rad, dude. Do you guys mind going over like a few minutes? I usually do an hour, but like, I haven't gotten, I got a bunch more questions.
Yeah, go for it.
Knock your questions out. Okay. I feel like I've just been running my mouth.
Hey, we're having a good time.
You guys are doing great. Let's see. The Pokey Raccoon. How long have you guys been besties and how did you meet? We talked about it, but we got our question out. Big K Cactus. For pints with pricks, what's your favorite type of beer and type of genus?
There we go. That's okay. A good question.
That's awesome. All right.
Speaking of.
I'm a dark beer guy. I like chocolatey, like 99% of the beers that I drink remind me of desserts.
Oh yeah.
They're nasty.
Nah, they're
heavy. Okay. That kind of beer.
But they remind me of desserts. Yeah. And I don't know, something about having a badass burger and a good smoky type of chocolatey beer. I don't know why it works.
Yeah.
So I'm a stout guy, I'm a porter guy, something smoked. I mean, that's my shit. But as far as my favorite like genus of plants, Austin's gonna 110% agree with me, and it's also because, or it's because of our influence from Paul. Mm-hmm. We're Areocarpus guys.
Okay.
That's big time.
One. That's a good one.
I've got a couple of Areocarpus that I like. I know that I'll check on them once a week. I know that I'm not going to watch them grow. I know that because they're fucking grow so slow.
Yeah.
But I've got a couple of Fisseratus that are my babies. Okay. Love them to death. I'd gotten into because I'm a collector of things. Like I used to collect paintings and glass art and shit like that. I hate it. This is going to make me sound
That's the cool thing about it is when Scott got into this, it was so cool to know that he wasn't into it for that long, but he already knew the best kind of plants. He was already collecting Tephro Geometricus. He already had some Arios.
Yeah.
He had some really nice Astros. Like, it's not like he got into it and was just buying like the basic stuff, which is still really cool, like Golden Barrels, and you got your Gymnocalyceums and stuff like that. But he was already on track with like the more
I'm a collector guy. Like, even whenever I was like 17 years old, the first real paycheck that I ever got as a kid, I spent way too much money on a guitar that I could fucking probably never afford to pay for, even as an adult. But I was like, nope, I'm working this whole year to buy one thing. You know, like I appreciate the craft of things, and I can appreciate the craft of genuinely growing some of these plants. Oh, so yeah. I was spending stupid money on Fisseratus and fucking other Copiapoas and Astrophytums and things like that. I'd have no problem paying or buying things that I know that are a quality product. Mm. I mean, shit, I bought it the first time you and I ever talked. I bought a plant from you. And I was about to go get tattooed. And I was like, yeah, I'm about to spend some money, but goddamn, this is a good price and this is a good, healthy looking plant from a good dude. I'm buying it today.
He freaked out. He brought the whole package over and opened it in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
Dude, well, that kind of sets you guys apart, though, too. Like, Areocarpus is not very common in our nurseries. The fact that you guys have a spot that's,
so,
you know,
we did have
them.
Paul had them. And when I first started going to Paul's in 2017, late 2017, he had probably, oh man, like 100 of them for sale.
Wow.
He would sell an Fisseratus that was probably 4 inches in diameter, 5 inches in diameter for like $80. He would sell giant Retusis furfuraceous for $70. Like, his prices were unbeatable. Dope. And he had the most amazing plants. And I'll never stop beating myself up about this is, when I first started getting into cactus, I didn't have a nice enough place to keep all my plants with a nice amount of sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And Arios really needed a good direct sunlight type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I never got any. And when I finally got the greenhouse, they were just slowly going away, dwindling. They only had like 5 left. So I bought the rest of the 5 but he would have fissurados, cachubianus. He had retusus, furfuraceus. He had trigonus.
That's dope.
Agavoides. I mean, he had everything. Paul's was definitely a collector's paradise a few years ago, but it's harder and harder to find those plants nowadays, and sure. Everyone's jacking the prices up.
Yeah,
and that bums me out. Like, I get it. I understand. Like, you know, if you're gonna have a business, sell the plants for what they are selling for.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to it, like there are quite a few people that are genuinely, they don't give a shit about the customer. They're about to make that dollar.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer.
It is a bummer. Because
I've seen things change so much. Like for instance, I bought a baseball sized Delbata, a Copiapoa.
Yeah.
I think I got it for $85. That same person that I bought that from is selling golf ball sized Copiapoa for like $250.
Yeah.
And that's within, like I said, I got into this in the beginning of like the shutdown of our mm-hmm. nation.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing it change like that, I'm like, I kind of want to be like, Jesus Christ, I'm so glad I bought that fucking plant from you before you started fucking people over.
Yeah, I have a thought on this because I pride myself on not being one of those people. I don't know if you guys have seen the prices that I advertise, but honestly, dude, it's people that do that. And we talked about it, not knocking people just over, like businesses over on the podcast in the past, but that's not what I'm trying to do. But what I am trying to do is vocalize like people just being reasonable and not, because it's people like that are causing this huge uptick in prices is because one day someone decides, oh, I'm going to charge $400 for this and see if it sells. Huh? And then it sells. Someone else sees, hey, this person's selling this for this much. So then they raise the price. You know what I mean? And it's just unreasonable. We don't need to make $400 off of one plant. You don't need to make $300 off of one plant. You know what I mean? I'd rather sell 10 plants and make $50 to $75 off each plant, or even sometimes $15 to $25 off of a plant. Well, you know what
like,
I mean?
When it comes down to it, like whenever you're talking about like that, those 10 people that you just sold that plant for a reasonable price are fucking happy.
Yes.
And they're coming right back to you.
Every time.
Yep.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to see things get marked up like that. I've worked in
people.
Hell yeah. I've worked in the retail industry or retail world. Sorry, not industry. That was stupid sounding. But I've worked in retail, and I've also been the guy that's like, whenever I was blowing glass, I would make a pendant, you know, make a shitload of pendants and sell them for like $20. And then I'd see somebody here in town make the same exact thing that I'm making and sell it for like $150.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, Jesus Christ, I'm going to go check out this guy's, you know, spot and see what's the difference.
Yeah.
There's no difference. It's location, or it was location, and that people just didn't know better.
Yeah.
People didn't know better. And that bummed me out because I can go, like, say if I was at like an artist market thing, set a table up right next to that guy selling something insanely similar for under like way less than half of what he was selling his shit for, my whole table would sell out.
Right.
And he sold one thing but still made more money than me.
Wow, dude.
You know, I was just like, God dog, man, like, I'm not here to fuck anybody over. I'm here to make someone happy.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. 100%. It's far more rewarding to see a smile on somebody's face than to like break someone's wallet, dude. And you're not only taking advantage of the people, but you're also taking advantage of the plants too, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, We're driving up this insane, unreasonable, unrealistic market. It's like you got to be a baller to own a Copia Poa now.
No, hell no.
You know?
You shouldn't be a baller.
You shouldn't have to be.
No, you should. Well, yeah, you're right. You shouldn't have to be. You should have to be a baller to fucking own a plant. Like, get the hell out of here. It's a plant. It grows. Like, you,
I wish people would realize, but, you know, maybe we have a voice and maybe it'll take a turn, but regardless, you know,
we'll
do our best. Do our best to not contribute today,
or, you know, whenever this actually pops off, I hope whoever hears this will be a little bit more confident on what they're actually paying for.
Yeah.
Just not
don't support somebody that's doing that. You know what I mean? Shop small. Shop small, but like reasonable.
Yeah. There are some people out here that I see buying plants from specific people. And I'm like, God damn. You just spent. I know how much you just spent.
Yeah.
Yep.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? I hope you don't do that.
Teach their own, you know.
Yeah, teach their own. But
we got our point across. It's all good.
Yeah.
Cactus Dan Man said, "Can we hear your patented yee call?"
Oh my god!
No, I'm honestly kind of so. Big Cactus Rescue fun of me for listening to like Leanne Rimes.
Oh, she's amazing.
You can catch me listening to like Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
And then the next song is going to be Leanne Rimes.
Yes.
Eclectic.
So, hey, I've experienced it.
They both get the same reaction.
That is so fucking funny, man.
And that reaction is...
Wait, are we about to do it?
I'm
about so we went to a country
unfreeze
country
the camera
concert last night, actually. And we got our little yees in there, too.
It's just a couple... Yee! Yee!
All right, hey, we got long one.
That's that one right there. We're fucking terrible, man.
Dude, I love that you guys aren't afraid to be yourselves, man.
Be our old country, Texas country boys.
Yeah, man. You guys are authentic, dude. I love it. It's exactly the kind of people that I want to talk to, man.
Good.
There's too much superficial and ego in the world. Let's just be
fuck that ego shit, man. Like, my ego has been broken down way too many times for me to even have any kind of an ego anymore.
Feel that.
So
that's right.
That's just how it is.
We got another question from Cactus Dan Man. Scott kind of answered this question, so let's hear from you, Austin. What's your favorite style of beer and favorite style of cactus?
Favorite style of beer. I like hazy IPAs a lot. Mm. Hazy IPAs. Scott's kind of got me into some stouts, which can be pretty good, but they're usually like 14 percenters, and one 14 percenter will put me on my ass. That's so gnarly. I stay under 7% and go from there, but definitely hazy IPAs.
Hell yeah.
And as far as my favorite genus, I mean, I like Oreos. I love Astros. I have been really, really, really into Tefro cactus a lot the past few months. So as of right now, I'd say Tefro cactus is my favorite genus right now. Hell for sure.
Dope.
Super, super weird.
Let's see. Another question from Fleetwood Max. What parallels do you see between plants and life goals?
Life goals as being plants, having the greenhouse,
one in the same.
And building the collection and learning how to cultivate properly or better, learning to grow from seed, and then hopefully one day starting a nursery out here in Texas would be a very big goal for me. I think it would be a lot of work, and I definitely need a fucking partner.
Hell yeah.
But that's, yeah.
The plant is the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
All right. Last one. If you were to describe yourself as a cactus, which one would it be and why?
Oh, shit. That's heavy. That's like the heaviest question out there today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty deep.
It's like asking what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah, dude.
I'm a Lophophora or a Trichocereus. Damn. One of the two.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
Shit. Oh, man.
For me, you know what, man? I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah.
Lophophora, man. Like, that's a positive, knowledgeable.
It's a wise plant, yeah.
Wise fucking plant, dude. And I have never explored any of the benefits from that plant at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what's up. And for me, that plant's going to take you somewhere.
Yeah.
As far as, like, you know, these kind of plants go. But damn, yeah, that's I'm sorry, I'm not trying to steal your thunder, man.
No,
but
you're fine.
I agree with you. That Lophophora is a positive fucking plant, and that's all I want. Like I can't afford anything less than positivity.
I love that.
And I'm stealing your thunder, man.
That's fine.
that's that plant, man.
I'm not stealing anything.
That's the one from you.
There's a journey associated with that plant for sure, man.
I bet.
Yeah. And every time it blooms, it's always very special to me. Like, it's so cool. I love those blooms so much.
They're fucking adorable.
Yeah.
They have those.
Yeah. Austin's got some grafted lopes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, whenever I was here, there was like I want to say like three of the grafted plants of his were blooming, and I was like, oh man, shit, this is so pretty.
They're That's small cool. too. I got a big clumper from China, and I cut off all the pups. Shout out to Texas Cactus out in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
He grafted a bunch for me, and shout out to Excelsior. He grafted a bunch for me.
Hell yeah.
And like three of them have already bloomed. They're probably the size of about a quarter, if that.
Mm.
And hopefully they pollinated.
They're so fragile, delicate, little cute things. I love them for sure.
Absolutely.
Man, this has been an absolute pleasure, you guys, and super positive, super uplifting. I really enjoyed it, dude. Thank you, guys.
Good, man.
Yeah, definitely a good time.
All right, I appreciate you guys. After I'll wrap up and then we'll stick around for a second. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. If everybody could please like, review, and subscribe to the podcast and hit that share button, that would help me out a lot. Thank you. Bye.